Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. I have a couple questions for you. Do you ever wonder what your purpose in life is? Have you ever wondered if the problems you're experiencing are meant to be? Or are they shaping you for something greater? In her new book, Something Greater, Finding Triumph Over Trials, Pastor Paula White Cain shares her journey of faith from what she calls as a messed up Mississippi girl to leading the ministry she has in service to the Lord today. In this book, she details how she felt led to a higher calling as a child and some of the issues and problems she had to overcome, both in her personal life and in ministry, and how she came to serve others as a female pastor and what has led to her being asked to become the spiritual advisor to President Donald Trump. Pastor Paula White Cain is the president of Paula White Ministries, headquartered in Florida just outside of Orlando, and is the spiritual advisor to President Trump. She hosts Paula Today and is a renowned life coach, best-selling author, and a highly sought-after motivational speaker. Her commitment to humanity is felt worldwide as she reaches out through numerous charities and compassion ministries, fulfilling her mission and call to transform lives, heal hearts, and win souls. And she's also the oversight pastor of City of Destiny Church, located just outside Orlando. Help me welcome to the program, Pastor Paula White Cain. Pastor Paula, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
It is so wonderful to be with you, Pastor Robert, and all your listeners. I'm excited about our time together today.
Hey, man. Well, first, congratulations on the new book. I mean, it was great. And as we get started, I also want to thank you for being a great representative for the evangelicals inside the White House. I can't speak for others, but I believe you are covered in prayer every single day, as is the president and his administration. So I just want to thank you for taking on that responsibility.
Thank you. You know, it's been quite a journey, and to see what God's done and where he's brought from, and I'm sure we'll get it into this. I talk about it in the book, Something Greater, and it's quite an amazing thing to be able to stand in position to help the body of Christ and houses of worship and the kingdom of God and just all people and represent faith and be that liaison. If you would have said to me 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I would have said, and I say, look what God can do with any of our lives.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me start by saying this is a riveting book, as we discussed before we started the recording. And I read the online version in one sitting. I could not put it down. And it covers basically your whole life, from losing your dad to suicide at age 5, through the ups and downs you faced personally and professionally, up to where you serve today. I guess the first question is, why this book and why now?
You know, it's interesting. For years, I felt like there was something that my life needed to speak. And we know that the Word of God says that we're living epistles. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, the evidence of God in our life. And yet at the same time, it was the hardest thing I've ever done. I typically write, I've written numerous books, like over 50, and they're typically about principles, topics, etc. I love the Word of God, which has so transformed my life. But to open my life as a book, and I kept being encouraged by people who had a lot of influence in my life and spiritual accountability. And they're like, this is something you need to do. I kept feeling the urging of the Holy Spirit, but it literally took me 7 years. I felt I needed to land some things. And then it took 3 years of writing. And honestly, when it came out, I had been in vetting with the administration for, I don't know, almost 2 years or so, a year and a half. And it almost came out simultaneously. The administration said, here, you know, you're in. And at the same time, the book was being released. I'm on a book tour. And I thought at the time, man, God, this is terrible timing. You know, it's not typically how you want to do a book tour, because there's all these different lanes and But little did I know, you know, how perfect God's timing is. I didn't know, of course, a sovereign God who is a very certain God during uncertain times, that right around the corner there would be a not national but global pandemic.
Yeah.
And that during this, everyone in the world would be able to relate, maybe not as drastic as the trauma that I went through mm-hmm. and the things that I experienced, but that everyone in some sort of way would go through a form of trauma, because all transition, all change feels like loss.
Yes.
And when people feel lost, it's very difficult, whether it's the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of economics, the loss of, you know, home, there can just the change of life, the whole world changed seemingly overnight. Mm-hmm. And that's very difficult for people. And that's where you begin to, you know, have those triggers. It creates, that's why we're seeing traumatic events such yeah. as depression and suicide rates go up and et cetera. And so I was doing an interview and someone said, Paula, little did you know that your story would help so many people, because I did write it based on the principles of God that helped me overcome, that helped me see I was not who life had labeled me to be in the prognosis that was set out for my life. Because as you said, I'm very open, vulnerable, and authentic. I talk about not being raised in church, having no clue who God is, no understanding. I came from a pretty well-to-do family. My mother had two masters and a doctorate, but my father, at 5 years old, committed suicide. As you can imagine, that starts a tailspin. Mm. And then there was sexual and physical abuse, economic change, moved 14 times during my childhood, which is creates what psychologists and psychiatrists call displacement. And so all of these things that prognosis said, okay, you are probably going to be a detriment to society.
Wow.
That most likely you could be an abuser or have an addiction or, you know, always have that victim mentality, be this, be that. I mean, on and on and on. However, when I had this radical transformation, I'm 18 years old, and my story always seems to have a guy. I was kissing this guy, happened to be a musician. And I'm open about all of this, too, just about how God, it's really a love story and a love letter of God's amazing grace. I call it, you know, my messiness and his good grace, and how he has this wonderful plan and purpose for us all. And like you said, we'll use the very painful areas in our life to bring transformation. Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process that is continual. It continues to go in my life. But boy, I can look back and say, life is much different today as a 54-year-old than as a, you know, 15 or 18 or 30 or 40 or 52-year-old. It's this constant process.
Amen.
So the real turning point, and I'll let you take it from here, happened because this is so crucial, was when I was 18. Go to this, with my boyfriend, go to his grandmother's house, and his uncle looks me in my eyes and says, I have the answers to your questions and the solution to your pain and problems. Of course, I'm real defensive looking at him like, what are you, what problems, you know? I was your typical overachiever because I had such abandonment issues, which go deeper than rejection. And that had to do with my father's death, because fundamentally I had bought into the falseness and the lie, I say, of the enemy, because they said, you know, you're the apple of your daddy's eye. Well, two and two never added up before. If you loved me so much, why would you leave me? Mm-hmm. And of course, the trauma of that night in particular, being pulled by one hand on my mom and one on my dad, leaves you with a lot of false conclusions that you're the reason. There's the guilt. There's the shame. What could I have done different? What's wrong with me? And when your little 5, 7, 10-year-old mind is formulating these things and seem to get validated by actions around you, and that is the problem with many of us, because all behavior comes out of belief. And if the enemy wants to mess up one thing seriously in our life, he doesn't want you to ever believe you are who God says you are.
Oh,
and it's not until a real deep relationship with God that I believe that you can even begin that process. So when Uncle Butch looked me in my eyes and said that, he was harsh on me. I mean, he said some things that I didn't like, Pastor. I mean, he was telling me, you know, I'm a sinner. I've done this wrong. And I'm like, what? What's a sinner? You know, I had no idea what this terminology was. And I needed to repent. I needed to do what? And basically, but as he was saying it, it was much farther than anything intellectually or academically or a natural mind of comprehension. There was something piercing my heart. There was something bigger than the words that he was speaking. And now, obviously, I know it was the working of the Holy Spirit reaching out with this unfathomable love for me. And though the words felt maybe a little harsh or like, what are you talking about? I just was drawn in, and it was so much love. And this sounds so corny, but I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He actually took me through a deliverance. I mean, had me praying stuff that I didn't understand what I had been praying at the time. But I walked outside, and it was like my whole life had been in black and white, kind of like, you know, the Oz, if you ever saw The Wizard of Oz, and it was black and white, and you see it in Technicolor the first time. Right. Like, the grass was green, the sky was blue. But what I knew is I felt the real power of love. And that began the journey, because I wanted to know more. He told me, go find a church. I went, and people were like 50, 60, 70 years old. That's, of course, very young now. But when I was 18, everybody was old.
Amen.
You know? Amen. I'm like, man, these guys are old. And I, you know, I just didn't. And so I said, I need that book. I need that book. And I grabbed a Bible, started reading it, because I had heard church and Jesus, but it was like the tooth fairy. I had no real concept. I had seen a Bible, but I couldn't put it down. And for 2 years of my life, I did nothing but stay in the Word of God. And I held it up. And think about this. I didn't even know what I was praying. And I said, God, show me who you are. Show me who I am. And show me what life is about. And I literally was asking the Holy Spirit, without knowing what to ask for revelation, for eyes of understanding, for an Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. And God, you know, he meets us right where we are. And so from a very young age, I had a divine sense of purpose. And people, they say 89% of people before the pandemic are not happy with their life, that they aren't satisfied. 70% of people before the pandemic lived in stress and discontentment. And I think a lot of that is not knowing, because purpose is the intention of God.
That's right.
That when you understand you're not an accident, you didn't just show up by, you know, circumstance, or, you know, your mom and dad having a hot date night together or what have you.
Yeah.
You were planned in mind of God before you were ever released out of the womb of your mother, and that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And when those transformations begin to take place and really become our truth and reality, then we see, oh, I do have a supreme reason for being. There is a why to my life. And when you discover that, it doesn't mean that difficult times go away. In fact, sometimes the opposite becomes greater.
That's true.
There's such joy and peace and contentment that we find in our life.
When you're going to your boyfriend's grandmother's house and Uncle Butch was there, it was like God was starting to line things up for you, right? I mean,
absolutely.
It was like an intervention. You know, the Holy Spirit just had him decide, oh, I'm going to go over visit my sister or whoever it was, you know, at the time. And then God had you show up at the same time. And like I said, the book goes into detail about how he just like zeroed in on you. And he could, excuse the pun, read you like a book. Right?
He did. He absolutely did. And it's amazing, because I go into, you know, who the real heroes are and who I think, you know, heaven is just throwing big time parties for. And those are people like, after I grew in life, and in my spiritual life, I started recognizing no one just comes out of nowhere, that God is very much a God of legacy and lineage and lines, and why family is so important and why church is so important and discipleship and all these things that we understand as the fundamentals of our faith. And so I look back, and one day I was in deep prayer, and I went through a lot of rejection with my grandmother, who was my dad's mom, and I go into this detail, and my mother became an alcoholic. And but early on in my first 5 years, the formation of my life had a lot to do with my great-grandmother, and her name was Mama Annie. She was very rejected. She was about 97 pounds and very crippled and arthritic, smelled like Bengay, and they pretty much put her in this room. I remember, you know, her being in isolation a lot. And they would always say, oh, she's crazy, she's crazy. And one day when I was like 12 years old, they said, she's religious. And, you know, at 12, not growing up in church, I never understood any of that. And I'm in prayer one day, and I asked God, I said, where did I come from? You know, because I'm always saying, I'm from five generations of heathen. You know, this was my, like, everybody was heathen, and everybody was, I mean, I was sure it split hell wide open. And I was crying out on behalf of my family. And the Lord showed me when I was little, I bonded very deep with my Mama Annie, and she had such impact. And I knew she loved me. I mean, she was the formation, and she'd rock me and hold me and mumble over me, so I thought. And the Lord showed me she was praying over me and dedicated me to God. And so here's a grandmother who's 97 pounds. All she has is she's locked away in a room, you know, smells like Bengay, crippled arthritis, very bent over. And she's given this little girl. And she dedicates this little girl with rotted out teeth and, you know, squinty little brown eyes and stringy hair that had a very dysfunctional family and a big mess, and she's giving me to God as a, you know, sacrifice in prayer. And so I want people to know how much their prayers matter. And, you know, it wasn't this world famous evangelist or, and there's a place for everyone in the body of Christ. It wasn't, you know, a celebrity pastor. It was Uncle Butch that just was on divine assignment. And we all are so important.
And his reward in heaven, encompasses your whole ministry.
You think about that. Amen. I mean, how many millions of people have come to the Lord through Paul White ministry, and but there wouldn't be one without Uncle Butch being so bold. I mean, he was bold and confident.
Amen. I know I'm jumping around a bit, but I want you to tell us a story of when you absolutely needed the rent money and there was no other hope but God, and how it showed up.
You know, amazing. God took me on this journey of learning to trust Him and really believe Him. When I was 18, I had gotten pregnant out of wedlock. I, you know, get saved, and I tell the whole story. I talk about it, all of it. And my parents, my mother had remarried when I was 9. To a 2-star admiral, became one chief of medical service corps. So they weren't too happy with my life. They, you know, had a plan for me. You have to get a minimum of a master's. This is what you're going to do. And I just decided I'm not a lemon. You know, I'm not going to follow the path and jump off the cliff. It didn't fit. There was a pool in my life, and they thought I'd gone off the deep end. You know, they were trying to help me because I'd become a Jesus freak. It turned out to be okay because all of my family is saved now and loves God. And, you know, it just, you know, I wouldn't compromise. So they were, their ultimatum to me is I'm cutting you off financially. And I didn't think they'd really do it, but certainly they did. And I went through some really difficult times, but I wouldn't compromise on my walk with God. So I'm living in a trailer. You know, people pretty much call me trailer trash. I say, but God's in the recycling business. He calls, he takes what other people call trash. And so our mortgage was about $377. And I had probably a whopping $50-something. And there was just no way. And I was so afraid. You know, here I had this little baby, brown eyes looking up at me. And I'm, you know, living there and struggling with my little family and thinking, what are we going to do? And knowing it's going to be repossessed. And so I started going to a Nazarene church, and then I moved over to a Church of God. And I'd always hear testimonies of how people would get know, groceries or rent money or this. And I was running to the mailbox thinking, surely, or somebody's going to give me a Pentecostal handshake or something. And sure enough, nothing. And it was at that last, you know, that midnight hour and notice after notice. And I had gotten a jacket at Goodwill for, I know, a few bucks, and probably a year earlier. And I put it on once or twice. And we were playing Bible trivia. Had some friends over, a little double wide. And I started, I don't know, just out of the blue, I was like, you should see how good God has been to me. I bragged on this jacket I'd gotten for, you know, $5 or whatever, Goodwill, and went to put it on. Well, I went and put it on, and I felt like this bulge in my pocket there. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And I reached in, and it was, I mean, literally to the T, what I needed. I think at $376 around there, you know, total. It was about $320, but it totaled up what I needed for the mortgage. Amen. And I just began to weep and cry and worship. And I don't know. I mean, to my knowledge, no one knew of our needs. No one. I don't know if an angel put it in there. I don't know if it was already there from Goodwill. I don't know. I have no idea. I just know God did something so supernatural for me. And that began to build my faith that was not like, oh, God's a sugar daddy or something like that, but that God loved me enough that he would take care of my needs, just like he said in Matthew chapter 6. Yep. You know, because here I was stressed out and worried. And, you know, I was doing everything I could. I, for years, cleaned houses and doctor's offices and picked up an odd job here or there or would do whatever I had to do, delivered newspapers and, you know, but we were short and, you know, we didn't have it. But God loves you and God will make a way. And it did something for me that I realized I serve a good daddy. And it doesn't mean that life's always easy and our faith doesn't prevent life, but it certainly carries us through life.
Amen. I brought that up because I had an experience similar to that when we were going through a serious financial times and between my transition from the military to what I ended up doing. I was working two part-time jobs and still behind on the bills, so I started going to school using my VA check to help pay the rent. And I could call on the third of the month down to Austin, Texas, and we lived in Killeen at the time, and they would tell me, okay, your check's printed, and it'll be mailed today or it'll be mailed tomorrow or something like that. And then I knew it would take one more day to get there, so I could tell the rent office, okay, I'll pay you, you know, Wednesday or whatever. And I called them up, and they said, well, the check will be printed today, and it'll probably go in tomorrow's batch of mail, which means I wouldn't get it for another day or two. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm already behind, and this is bad. And I pray we really needed that money. And went to the grocery store and came back, and in the mailbox was the check. And it did not even have a cancellation stamp on it. I believe an angel grabbed it when it was printed and flew up and put it in that mailbox because I just got off the phone with them. And they said it's being printed today, you know, and would be mailed tomorrow or the next day. And there it was in the mail. And it takes at least a day or two to get from Austin to Killeen. So,
I'm telling you,
God is
a supernatural God. Yeah. I've learned it's amazing because those early days really helped my formation of faith that God takes care of us. And he is a God of the supernatural. And I mean, I've seen it all in my life in ministry. And whether I'm sitting at a brook and he's sending a raven. And some people have those experiences early on and then they kind of push over that threshold of the struggle and the poverty and it levels out for them. Not for me. It's always been up and down. God has always had my back in a corner that there's something that I don't have enough of. And he always brings supply. I can tell you, I go through how supernaturally he supplied for when he told me to go on television and I signed $1.5 million contract. I have $10,000. Or how when I go through, I wish I could say the only struggle was in the beginning of my life, but in the middle part, you know, I think I'm writing in my journal one day, can life get any better? And I think I'm living the Cinderella life. And then we go under immense stress. extreme attack, and I'm really open and vulnerable about this because we came against pornography very hard in the city of Tampa, and next thing I know, we're in a criminal IRS investigation, and you know, I find out how many ministries and big ministries have been through that, and I look where I am now and go, I had to go through everything. You know, we were cleared in 6 months. I mean, they go through absolutely everything. I'd gone through an inquiry from a Senate. I'd gone through a total of almost 12 to 14 years of investigation, headlines, 52 weeks, one after another. My ex-husband, who tells his story and testimony, you know, I believe God that my marriage would make it. I could, like, this would be a blip on the radar screen, but he had a nervous breakdown and opened the door to Valium, which led to Oxy and led to heroin, and one addiction led to another, which led, you know, the women, and I kept believing, God, this is going to be a blip. And it wasn't. I mean, we went through a divorce, an unwanted one, for me. And, you know, it was, but I look back now and I go, everything, you know, God didn't change his mind about me. God didn't change, you know, and I had to work through so many situations and details, because you look at your purpose in life and you say, well, can another person impact, you know, and take away God's plan for your life? Because it happens to everyone, whether it's a family member, a Judas to Jesus. And then ultimately you see that all these things, if you allow them to work for the good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's interview, where I've had the extreme blessing of interviewing one of the premier pastors of the modern era, Pastor Paula White Cain. Now, I was introduced to Pastor Paula's ministry, gosh, some 20 plus years ago through a mutual acquaintance when I was working with a different national ministry. So I'm very familiar with how impactful her ministry has been, not just here in the United States, but around the world. And I'm also aware, as some of you or most of you might be, about the controversies that have surrounded her. And when I had the opportunity to interview her about her new book, Something Greater, Finding Triumph Over Trials, I said yes immediately. And I've read her book. In fact, I read it straight through in one sitting and one evening. It is that good. And in her book, and on this interview, she's not holding anything back. She lays it all out there, from her impoverished beginnings and her father committing suicide to the financial struggles and ministry struggles, all of it. So you need to get this book. You really do. It'll open up an entirely different perspective on Paula White Cain and how you may view her life and ministry from now on. So go down into the show notes, click the links below, go to our website, get the book, order a couple of copies, because I know you know someone who will be blessed by this book and her personal testimony and story as well. So do it right now while you're thinking about it, and be sure to come back to listen to the next episode as we conclude a great interview with Pastor Paula White Cain. Till then, it's Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity.
Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.